Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to us now, so that your word is our delight, and so that we rejoice even when we are in trouble and distress, because we feed upon your word, and in it we have joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come again to the book of Isaiah this morning as we are looking through it together. And it is always good to remember where Isaiah fits into the history of the Israelites. If you think of the Bible and you think of the beginning, you start with the book of Genesis. In Genesis, you hear about our first parents. After God has created everything, he creates our first parents, Adam and Eve. From Adam and Eve, you eventually get a man called Abraham, who is the first of the patriarchs. And from Abraham, you eventually get the 12 tribes of Israel, from the 12 sons of Israel. And those tribes end up in the land of Egypt, and you can read about that in the book of Exodus. They are persecuted by Pharaoh in Egypt and brought out of Egypt under the leadership of a man called Moses. Moses then leads them for 40 years in the desert, and then under the leadership of Joshua, they're brought into the promised land, and they live there with a series of judges over them, and the last of the great judges is Samuel. Samuel is then given the task, Samuel the prophet and judge of God, he is given the task of anointing the first king of Israel, and that is King Saul. And you can read about him in the book of 1 Samuel. And he, though, is replaced by David, because Saul turns out to be someone who is not after God's own heart. And so God replaces him with a man who is after God's own heart. And so David is the second king of Israel, but his family is promised that they will be the one who will have a king who reigns on the throne of David for all of eternity. David then has a son called Solomon. Solomon's reign is a very prosperous reign, but after Solomon, sadly, the kingdom of Israel splits in two. In the south, you have the kingdom of David. In the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. That's the tribe of Judah, which is what David's house is from. And then in the north, you've got the other tribes. And there's this split that goes on for many years where there's different kings ruling from different houses in Israel. But down in the south, it's always the Davidic kings who are reigning there. They fight with one another. Other nations come in and persecute them. And that's the time that we're looking at with the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is in the southern kingdom with Judah and the Davidic kings. And he actually has a very long period of ministry with lots of different kings. You can even see that at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 1. It lists all the different kings that Isaiah ministered to. His ministry was during those reigns. And so he is there while this split is going on and while other nations are coming and attacking. And particularly one nation that we've seen again and again is the kingdom of Assyria has been coming down and wiping out nation after nation and coming down and getting the kingdom in the north, the kingdom of Israel, but now has even come to persecute the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. And we've been looking at how this threat has been looming again and again. This great nation has been coming up, swallowing other nations and threatening to swallow Israel as well. And so we've seen this, that this nation is coming, the nation of Assyria, but we've seen promises, and that's what we've been looking at, the promises of God that have been giving the Israelites hope. The Israelites have been sinning against God, and God has been bringing persecution upon them, like the nation of Assyria, but he also gives them hope. And last week we saw the great hope of Israel is this just judge. This shoot would come up from the stump of Jesse, from the Davidic house, and that this judge would judge in a way that no earthly judge has judged before. He would be all-seeing, and that righteousness, we see in verse 5 of chapter 11, would be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And that Isaiah continues to prophesy in this section in chapter 11 about what is to come. He's promised that this just judge would come, and he would come with righteousness and faithfulness. But what else does Isaiah prophesy will happen? Well, we see in chapter 11, verse 6 and following, that there's this great peace that is coming between animals. And we see that in verse 6. It says, "The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together." Peace is coming. Under the reign of this great judge, this shoot from the stump of Jesse, that peace will come even to the animal kingdom. Now, how is this prophecy to be fulfilled? Well, some believe that it could be a literal biological change is coming in animals so that they no longer eat one another, but instead live in harmony. What change will happen? Well, we see in verse 7 that meat eaters will become grass eaters, so they don't attack one another. Verse 7 says, the cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. So there's this biological change that meat eaters will become grass eaters. And another change that will come is that venomous animals will no longer attack humans. That peace will come not just between animals and animals, but also between animals and humans. Verse 8 says, the infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. There's this change that's going to come to animals, so that animals and animals live at peace with one another, and that animals and humans will live at peace with one another. Now, when will this biological change take place? Well, we understand that this prophecy that is given here in chapter 11 will be fulfilled ultimately in the new heavens and the new earth. And we know this because Isaiah gives a very similar rendition of this prophecy later in his book. Turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 65, which is page 743, just a few pages over from Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 65. And look with me at verse 17, page 743, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. 65, verse 17 says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. And then he goes on to speak about what the new heavens and the new earth will look like. And if you flip over the page, you can read verse 25 with me now. Verse 25, after describing many things about the new heavens and the new earth, we read in verse 25, the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Almost word for word are some of those verses there to what we find in Isaiah chapter 11, the passage that we're looking at today. And so we understand then that what is being spoken of in Isaiah chapter 11 will be fulfilled in the new heavens and the new earth. But what's another way that we could take this prophecy and the way that it will be fulfilled? We could take it as a literal biological change that one day we'll see lions eating grass. But what's another way that we could understand it? We can understand it to be fulfilled metaphorically, not literally by lions eating grass, but metaphorically. And what do I mean? Well, I mean that the animals here are meant to be symbols to represent nations of the earth, living in peace one day with other nations. How so? Well, the meat eaters here in chapter 11, like the wolf and the leopard and the lion and the bear, they are to represent fierce and hostile nations that take on smaller and weaker nations and defeat them, devour them, eat them up, even impose their own rule upon those nations, take away their lands. And we've been seeing that with the nation of Assyria, that it has been devouring nation after nation like a vicious wolf that is coming down and eating up sheep after sheep after sheep. Little lamb after little lamb has been taken over by the nation of Assyria. Now, why would we understand this to be symbolic? Well, the prophets often speak of God bringing hostile nations like animals to punish sinners and to even punish Israel for its sins against the living God. Where do we see this? Well, if we turn back in Isaiah chapter 5, we can see that God speaks of other hostile nations as lions. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 5, page 680, and we'll look at verse 25. Verse 25. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 25, page 680, it says, therefore the Lord's anger burns against his people. His hand is raised and he strikes them down. The mountains shake and the dead bodies are like refuse in the street. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. God is very angry with his people. So what's he going to do? We read in verse 26, he lifts up a banner for the distant nations, like Assyria. He whistles for those at the ends of the earth. Here they come, swiftly and speedily. Not one of them grows tired or stumbles. Not one slumbers or sleeps. Not a belt is loosened at the waist. Not a sandal thong is broken. Their arrows are sharp. All their bows are strong. Their horses' hoofs seem like flint. Their chariot wheels like a whirlwind. Their roar is like that of the lion. They roar like young lions. They growl as they seize their prey and carry it off with no one to rescue. Here we see Isaiah describing hostile nations as lions, roaring and devouring as they come against those that he's called them to come against. And Isaiah 59 speaks about violent humans as venomous animals. Turn with me to page 736. 736, Isaiah 59, and we'll read from verse 4. Isaiah 59, reading from verse 4. Page 736. It says, "No one calls for justice, no one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil." These are evil people that he's describing. Now, how is he going to describe them? Verse 5, he says, "They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die, and when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands." Here we see evil people being described how? As snakes, as spiders, as venomous animals. And why else should we consider this to be symbolic, what we're seeing in Isaiah chapter 11? It's not just Isaiah who describes other nations and other violent people in the terms of animals, symbolically as ferocious animals. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 6 speaks of other nations devouring others as animals. And he says in Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 6, no need to look at it, you can look at it later today if you like. He says in verse 6, "Therefore a lion from the forest will attack them, a wolf from the desert will ravage them, a leopard will lie in wait near their towns to tear to pieces any who venture out. For their rebellion is great and their backslidings many." Jeremiah says in one verse, a lion, a wolf, and a leopard, those three vicious animals that we see in Isaiah chapter 11. So Jeremiah uses vicious animals as symbols of nations that will come and attack Israel. And Daniel chapter 7 is also a very classic passage. We won't look at it now together, but he also uses the image of a lion, a bear, and a leopard to depict powerful nations that come to war against other nations. And so I think there's a grounds to say in Isaiah chapter 11 that the images that are given to us of a lion and a wolf and a leopard and a bear living in peace with animals that would normally not live in peace with those animals is meant to be a symbol of nations, vicious nations, living in peace with weaker, more vulnerable nations. And it fits with what the context is that's going to come, and we'll look at it next week in more detail. But look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. If you're still in Isaiah chapter 11, after we see this wonderful image of peace that is given, in verse 10, what do we read? "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." The very next verse tells us that nations are going to come in peace with one another. And so I think, therefore, what has come previously about animals is meant to represent these nations that would come and live in peace with each other. So what is the point that God is making through his prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and following? He's telling us that a time of great, extraordinary, not ordinary, extraordinary peace is coming. If he's referring to vicious nations, he's showing that there will be a time of great peace. In fact, world peace, as nations are coming to live in harmony with one another. And if he is referring to the animal kingdom, literally, that also really shows that a time of great peace, extraordinary peace, is coming as well. Why? Well, if the animal world will be at peace, how much more will the human world be at peace and harmony with one another? So Isaiah is telling us that world peace is coming. But when will it come? Well, we saw when it will come. Isaiah 65 told us when it will come. In the new heavens and the new earth. People of nations who were previously at war with one another, terribly hostile to each other in this world, will live on God's holy mountain in peace, Isaiah says. And John describes such an image for us in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. He says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." They're there with symbols of peace and prosperity in heaven. People of all nations, which includes nations that formerly fought one another, that hated one another, are there in heaven at peace with one another around the throne of the Lamb. So what are we to do as we read this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 11 today? Well, we should desire to be in the new heavens and the new earth so that we too can enjoy that great peace with the rest of humanity. But how can we go to be in the new heavens and the new earth, where wolves will be with lambs, where leopards will be with goats, where lions will be with calves in perfect harmony? How can we be there? Well, Isaiah tells us. What does he say in verse 9? He says in verse 9 of chapter 11, "They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." How is world peace accomplished? How is there peace to come between nations that war with one another? It is by the knowledge of the Lord. That is how we achieve world peace. There are all kinds of people investing huge amounts of time and money in our world into forming treaties with other nations, to brokering peace with one another. But it will never accomplish world peace. Man-made solutions will never accomplish peace between nations who hate one another. And the hatred can go back generation after generation, hundreds of years, and a man tries to then broker some sort of peace between them. It's not going to work. It's knowledge of the Lord that brings peace between people who have hated one another for generations. But how is that possible? How does knowledge of the Lord bring peace between nations? Well, why does God allow ferocious animals to attack weak and helpless ones? Why does he bring nations to attack other nations? As we saw in Isaiah chapter 5, where there's this image of God, he whistles for the nations to come like vicious animals, like wolves. He's whistling for them to come and attack Israel. Why does God do that? It's because of sin. Because of the Israelites' sin, he whistled for nations to come and devour his own people because they were no longer living as his people. It's because of sin. So how does knowledge of God, knowledge of the Lord, bring peace? Well, if we know the Lord and we know his just judge, as we've seen in chapter 11 earlier. We see this judge who knows all things. What does that lead us to do? It leads us to fear the Lord. And what does fear of the Lord do? It drives out sin from our hearts, which then means what? God will no longer punish us for our sin. We can come to him for grace to cover our sin and live in holy fear of him as the just judge. So how do we get knowledge of God that will cause us to live at peace with others, that will cause us to live under God and under him and with other nations in peace, other people in peace? Well, it's by the gospel revealed in the scriptures. What is the gospel? What is the good news according to the scriptures, according to the great source of knowledge that we have of God? Well, the gospel is that man sinned and deserves hell for his sin. But what happened? God sent his son as a sacrifice for man's sin so that by repentance and faith, man can have eternal life. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. There's firstly the bad news. You've sinned. We have all sinned and we all deserve to be punished. But God, in his mercy and his grace, sent his just judge to take the penalty for those who repent and believe in him. What's another way that we could put it? Humans have behaved like vicious wolves. All humans have behaved like vicious wolves, attacking the Lord and attacking each other, and deserve to be put down like vicious animals, not tolerated any longer because of the harm that they're bringing to others. But what did the Lord do? He sent his son, the Lamb of God. He sent a lamb into this world for what purpose? To be put down like a vicious wolf on behalf of all the wolves who trust in that Lamb of God. That is the good news. We have all behaved like vicious wolves. We've all mistreated those around us. We've all bitten and snapped and growled at those around us. And we deserve to be put down like a vicious animal. But God sent his lamb and then treated that lamb like a vicious wolf at the cross, Jesus Christ, for all those wolves who will trust in Jesus. And so what does that mean? If we trust in Jesus Christ, it means that wolves will live forever in the new heavens and the new earth in perfect peace. Why? Because our sin is paid for in Christ Jesus. And so we no longer need to be put down like a vicious wolf that we are and punished in hell. We no longer need that to happen to us anymore because Jesus has already paid for it. And why else will wolves live forever in heaven in perfect harmony? Well, as wolves know God, they no longer sin. They no longer desire to sin. And so they don't cause pain to others. And particularly in heaven, they will no longer sin. So there'll be wolves in heaven who no longer snap at others. They no longer bite others. So therefore, there's no more pain in heaven. There's harmony in heaven from one another, but also from God, because he's not punishing anyone in heaven for what they're doing, because they're always living in perfect harmony. So what will we see in heaven? We'll see wolves and lambs. We'll see leopards and goats. We'll see calves and lions, cows and bears, children and snakes, all living together in perfect harmony. No matter how much their family, their tribe, their nation attacked God and others in this world, they will live in peace there in the new heavens and the new earth. In heaven, what will we see? We'll see Assyrians and Jews living in harmony, along with Babylonians, who are the next nation that's going to be a great threat in Israel. After the Assyrians came the Babylonians. But what will we see in heaven? There will be Babylonians there living in harmony with Israelites. And then the Romans, they then persecuted the people of God as well. But we'll see Italians in heaven living in harmony with Israelites. What else will we see? We might see Palestinians and Israelites. I shouldn't say might see. We will see. There are Palestinian Christians. And they will be there in heaven, living in harmony with Israelites. We'll see Ukrainians and Russians in the new heavens and the new earth around the throne of God, praising him with palm branches. This is what is being told to us in Isaiah chapter 11. Wolves, lambs, lions, calves, leopards, goats, all there in harmony together. But what happens if we trust in Christ also? Well, we have a taste of heaven, even in this world, and can live in peace and harmony now. The wonderful thing about many of the prophecies given by God is there's a future fulfillment, a complete fulfillment, but there's also a now fulfillment as well. We who live like animals in this world, tearing others apart with our words and with our actions, can actually become peaceful towards others. How? As we gain knowledge of God, as we hear the good news that God has given us, we fear God's hell, we desire heaven, and we trust in Jesus for grace for our sin. And then what happens? Wolves begin to live with lambs in loving peace. Just like Assyrians and Jews would live in peace with one another. Where can we see this happening? Where can we see wild animals living with domestic animals in this world? One of the best places, the best place that you can see it, is at a local church each Lord's Day on Sunday mornings. What happens at church on a Sunday morning? Previously savage animals come to the building and live in peace with others. How so? They're no longer snapping and biting at others, which is what they used to do, but they come and they feed together with lambs and goats and calves on the Lord's word together, the perfect straw that is given to animals to feed upon. And why is this? It's because they found grace. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they found grace for their sin in Jesus Christ, and so therefore they give grace to others around them. This is the wonderful thing that happens as a Christian. When we know the grace that has been administered to us, we can then forgive anyone for what they've done against us. And we can invite them to be gracious to us and forgive us by saying sorry to them and asking for forgiveness. And we've also heard the perfect law of God and keep it by his Spirit. As we have knowledge of God, we have knowledge of his grace that is given to us in his Son, but we also have knowledge of his justice and his law. And this is what we have as we are Christians and we look at God's word and we increase in our knowledge. We see his law and we want to keep it because we see the damage that is done if we don't keep it. That's what we read before in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14, Paul says the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. We come now, previously savage animals, and live in harmony with one another because we know God's law is that we are to love one another. And so we keep it because we see the damage that is done if we do not keep it. So what do we see on Sunday mornings when God's people gather together? Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we get a little glimpse of heaven. That's what we're getting on Sunday mornings. That's why it's so good to come to church on Sunday mornings. It's a taste of what is yet to come. This is heaven on earth as we gather. Wolves and lambs, leopards and goats, calves and lions, cows and bears, children and snakes live together with one another on Sunday mornings in peace and harmony. People of nations who previously warred against one another, families who hated one another, come and worship God and feed upon his word with one another. People who were previously part of the pack of Satan are now part of the flock of God, and they come and they dwell together in unison as they feed on God's word. So the question for you this morning is, have you sought the knowledge of God so that you can enjoy peace in the new heavens and the new earth? Do you see your sin, the way that you have attacked others, like a wolf, like a lion, like a snake or a bear or a leopard? Do you see what that means? The fact that we have all attacked others like a vicious animal? That means that you cannot live on God's holy mountain for all eternity in perfect peace. Do you see what you deserve because of your sin? Because of your viciousness towards others? You deserve to be put down like a vicious animal and punished for eternity in hell. May it not be. May it not be that anyone in this room is ever put down in such a way. Know the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Know him, as it says there in Isaiah chapter 11. Know the Lord so that you can have peace with God and peace with man for eternity. By the Spirit, trust that Christ was put down like a vicious animal in your place so that you can be forgiven and never be punished as he was. Believe in Jesus so that Isaiah's prophecy, which we read here this morning, applies to you, that you'll be one of those wolves or that lamb or that leopard or that bear or that snake that is there in heaven, that is now living at peace. Believe in Christ so Isaiah's prophecy applies to you and you live on God's holy mountain where no harm or destruction will ever come again. But we who believe, we who already trust in Jesus, what should we do as we read this passage together? Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we should enjoy peace as much as we can now. Sadly, in this world, reformed wolves still nip little lambs. Old ways die hard. And they won't really stop till heaven. We still have a sinful nature. There's a wolf streak still in all of us. There's a sneaky snake in all of us. And it still likes to nip others and to growl at others. Why is that? Well, we still lack knowledge of God as we should. We still do not have that knowledge of God as we should. But what happens if we keep on learning about God? What happens if the knowledge of the Lord covers us as the waters cover the sea? Well, we'll continue to soften. And as we soften, we will dwell in increasing peace with others around us. Now, how do we increase in knowledge so that we have increasing harmony with others? Well, it's by reading the scriptures. By the power of the Holy Spirit, reading the scriptures and meditating upon the gospel, what happens? Well, God reminds us that he punishes sin. But he also reminds us that he graciously has punished it in Christ Jesus. So as we see ourselves snap at others, even tear a chunk off somebody's ear, what happens? As we look at the gospel, we make peace with God so he does not destroy us. And we find that grace that is with through God, and therefore we go and are gracious to those around us. As we meditate upon the gospel, we apply that gospel to our lives and we make peace with God and make peace with our fellow man. And what happens? We won't bite our others around us. We won't bite them, but instead we will feed with them on God's word in harmony. But if you find that you are regularly biting others without repentance, without going to the gospel, without applying God's grace to you and turning from your sin, what should you do? You should be afraid. You should be afraid. Why? Because you're not saved. If you go around behaving like a wolf or a leopard or a lion on a regular basis, without reforming, without repenting, without turning to the Lord as you should, you're not saved. You still need to fear God as you should for the first time, and repent for the first time, and trust in his grace for the first time. And I encourage you to do that. You may have thought that you were a lamb, but by your actions, you're showing you're a wolf. Turn to Christ before it is too late, before you are destroyed by the Lord. Turn to him, and then what should you do with the rest of the family of God? Well, by the Spirit, live in peace with God and others. And what else should you do? Well, you should not only just live in peace, you should rejoice in those tastes of heavenly peace now that you have, whilst also rejoicing in the wonderful hope that we have. Yes, we have a taste of heaven on earth, but it is just a taste. Some people seem to act like they expect this world to be heaven. It's not. We get a taste of heaven, particularly when we come with the family of God, but it's just a taste. What should we really be rejoicing in? The great hope that we have, where one day we will be completely reformed wolves in heaven, never to bite at the Lamb of God again, never to bite at his sheep, but to live in perfect harmony with Jesus himself, the pure Lamb of God, to dwell on his mountain with others who are just as vicious as us, but living in perfect harmony around the throne, rejoicing in what God has done for us. Let's come to our God now. Let's speak to him. Heavenly Father, we praise you as the God of justice who punishes vicious wolves every day with death. We confess that we deserve to be punished for attacking you and for attacking our neighbours. But we thank you for sending your Lamb to die in our place. Help us to live in heavenly peace with one another now, but all the while rejoicing as we look forward to living in heavenly peace with the Lamb of God for all eternity. Lord, if there is anyone here this morning who's still in denial, who's denying that they are a wolf and harming those around them, oh Lord, we pray that you would save them from their vicious and vile behaviour, that they would repent of their sins as they learn about you and know your peace that comes through trusting in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And we pray this in his name. Amen.